everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this rainy afternoon on Wednesday, March 15th, 2023. Tom Fairbanks engineering and producing the show. Tom, beware the Ides of March, a phrase that warns about some danger or betrayal on March 15th. So, Tom, be very careful.
Why is everybody picking on March 15th as a danger day?
Of course, it goes back to a play from Shakespeare where a soothsayer tells Julius Caesar, beware the Ides of March, before he is killed by Roman senators on that day.
Not only the 15th of March, there's a couple of other dates in March that are interesting, if not important.
We will get to those very well. There's one coming up very soon in like 2 days.
It's the day of the wearing of the green.
Yeah, that will be St. Patrick's. We'll certainly get to that in about 48 hours. But right now we are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. We come to you on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. For news talk, our worldwide live listening is at my website, buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is sponsored by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mays, is the executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine and public health and internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. Dr. Mazes is committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and in pioneering change efforts that solve the U.S. healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Mazes co-hosts the very popular podcast, Body of Wonder, with Dr. Andrew Weil. You can follow Dr. Mazes on Twitter at Dr. Mazes or find her at azcim.org. And she joins us now on the live line. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well, Bill. And you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. We've got lots to cover today, beginning with a fascinating new study that people who consume foods from two very popular diets, when autopsied, had fewer hallmark signs of Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah, such interesting research. And, you know, autopsy means that they're getting brain tissue. So they're really able to tell definitively whether or not there are the kinds of changes in the brain. We call these beta amyloid and neurofibrillary tangles and plaques. So with an autopsy, you can see whether or not those changes are actually in the brain. And as you said, they looked at people who were following two different kinds of diets to see, did the diet make a difference? Did it reduce the likelihood that people would get Alzheimer's?
The Mediterranean diet is one that you and I have discussed many times on this program. It's a plant-based diet. The other diet that was involved with this study is something called brain-focused mind diet. I'm not as familiar with the mind diet as the Mediterranean.
Yeah, mind diet, it has such a long, complicated name. It stands for Mediterranean-Diet Intervention for Neurodegenerative Delay.
Whoa.
That is a mouthful. And it was created by researchers at Rush University who basically refined the Mediterranean diet with the research that was known to help protect the brain. So there really are some significant differences. For example, on the mind diet, it's recommended that you eat leafy greens every single day. And in fact, one of the researchers said he now eats leafy greens at every meal. The leafy greens are things like arugula and endive, kale, romaine lettuce, spinach, chard, turnip greens. The greener, the better. They could be cooked or raw, but these leafy greens turn out to be highly protective when they looked at people's brains. And the other difference from the Mediterranean diet is there's a focus on eating berries. So whether it's blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, blackberries, that should be eaten at least 5 days a week. And these two particular, I guess, brain foods were associated with less Alzheimer's disease pathology on autopsy.
Yeah, almost 40% lower odds of having enough plaques and tangles in the brain tissue to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Dr. Mazes, that's pretty darn significant.
It's really significant. If there was a medicine that reduced the risk by 40%, we would be prescribing it right, left, and central. Alzheimer's disease is a real problem. 47 million people around the world. And actually, because we are an aging society or global society, that number is projected to triple by the year 2050. We have no cure. We don't really have good treatment, but we do know that there are things that you can do. The dietary changes in the MIND diet and the Mediterranean diet, but also other things we have talked about, regular exercise, education, lifelong learning is something that helps keep the mind young and helps prevent Alzheimer's. Not smoking, getting enough sleep, staying engaged with your social connections, learning new things, and making sure that you take care of any chronic medical problems like diabetes. So there's a lot of things we could do to help prevent Alzheimer's. And since we don't know how to treat it, prevention's a really good idea.
So if thinking green, in which that's very appropriate with St. Patrick's Day coming up, if thinking green, if thinking green is a signature of the brain-focused mind diet, what would you say is the signature of the plant-based Mediterranean diet?
Yeah, so the Mediterranean diet has more fish than the MIND diet. And the Mediterranean diet, we suggest that people eat fish 2 to 3 servings a week. And we recommend particular fish, fish that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. So that's salmon, mackerel, anchovies, sardines, herring. We sometimes give that the acronym SMASH fish for the first letter of each of those. And on the MIND diet, you only are expected to eat fish once a week. Not everyone likes fish. And so, you know, being focused on those leafy greens and the particular fruit, the berry. Mediterranean diet is a broader set of recommendations. Again, lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, beans, olive oil is your main cooking oil, and then there's a little bit of meat, but it's more like a condiment as opposed to a big steak. Fish, as I mentioned, and some eggs, dairy, poultry, but less than what we usually find in the Western diet.
Is one of those diets more protective than the other one, according to this study?
Yeah, I don't think that they've actually done it head-to-head.
Okay.
You know, what they did with the MIND is they kind of pointed to some foods that in a variety of studies have been shown to be especially effective at preventing Alzheimer's. And there's still so much that we don't completely understand. So I would say the better diet is the one you'll follow, because what they found in the study is the better the adherence to the diet. So this was an observational study that the people who stuck closest to following that MIND diet had a 53% lower risk of Alzheimer's if they followed it all the time. The people who followed it most of the time had a 35% reduction in the risk of developing Alzheimer's. So the best diet is the one that can become your lifestyle, which we've talked about the Mediterranean diet being a very appealing diet to many people. So it's the one that you'll actually not just be on for a week or two while you're on a diet, but rather be on it for the rest of your life.
Well, I very much lean toward the Mediterranean diet. Certainly, we do fish at least 2 to 3 times a week. And so where do the vegetables come in that we also eat at least with every dinner serving at least?
Yeah, that's terrific. And, you know, we also know from studies of the microbiome that more variety is good. So this emphasis on leafy greens, as you could hear, there's a lot of different leafy greens. But, you know, for example, there's really good evidence for the health benefits of cruciferous vegetables, which arugula, I guess, and kale are both cruciferous vegetables. But broccoli, cauliflower, those aren't leafy greens, and they're really good for you. Diversity is good. Making sure that you eat a diverse diet is helpful for your the health of your microbiome, which we're learning more and more about and its importance in our overall health.
Any final thoughts before we change subjects here on these diets?
Yeah, berries are delicious. Listen to this good news to recommend that 5 days of the week you get some strawberries, blueberries, blackberries. Frozen is good. You don't have to always, you know, they're not always in season, obviously, so you can get them frozen. You could put them in a smoothie. You could put them in a dessert. But, yeah, I think that's almost as good as saying chocolate's good for you.
There you go. And certainly I'm doing the blueberries, trying to with every morning serving of my oatmeal, which really, it really enhances that oatmeal. All right, we'll pause right here with Dr. Victoria Mazes. There's another segment with her coming up, but right now I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, 7 o'clock Sunday morning. And my suggestion is get there very early, almost when the doors open on the weekend, for the best selection. Again, their website, monasdanishbakery.com. We'll have more with Dr. Victoria Mazes. We're going to be talking about sleep right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our contributor on health is on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Victoria Mays is the executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she's also a professor of medicine and public health. All right, Dr. Mays, as everybody longs for a good night's sleep. I know I do, and some nights it's more difficult than others. Let's talk a little bit about what is known as, actually commonly referred to as rapid eye movement, or REM, and I guess this is known as dream sleep.
Yeah, and I have always learned to pronounce it REM sleep.
Okay, REM.
But that is an acronym for the rapid eye movement. It's interesting. That is when we have our dream. So when we go to sleep, we go through different phases. In the first phase, you close your eyes and, you know, you're kind of like a little sleepy, but it'll be easy to wake you up. It can last for 5 to 10 minutes. And then the second phase, you're in light sleep. Your heart rate starts to slow down. Your body temperature drops, and your body's getting ready for deep sleep. Then that phase lasts anywhere from 10 to 25 minutes. And then you go into what we call deep sleep, and that's when it's really hard to wake someone up. And if someone does wake you up, you kind of feel a little disoriented. That is an important part of sleep, where your body repairs and regrows tissues, you know, so it's important for healing. It builds bone and muscles. It's also important for the immune system. But there's also this part of sleep where you're actually very active. Your eyes are moving rapidly because you're dreaming. It's when you're synthesizing memories and knowledge. They've done studies where they wake people up during this phase and they ask them to solve problems, and they're better. People are better problem solvers at this point of sleep.
More creative, I guess, too. Kind of a novel connection to the creative side of our brain.
It's exactly right. And, you know, if you think about it, we have that saying, I'm going to sleep on it. And you know, often the sayings have wisdom. So when we sleep on something, a lot of times we are able to figure something out. Sometimes we're less upset about it because we have had this opportunity during the night to have some emotional processing of whatever it is we're upset about, and to kind of pull some of that charge away from the memory. There's a very well-known sleep researcher. He wrote a book called Why We Sleep. His name is Matthew Walker, and he's at the Center for Human Sleep Science at UC Berkeley. And he says that REM sleep helps remove the sharp, painful edges from life's difficulties.
What's keeping us from getting that good REM sleep, Dr. Mazes?
Well, sometimes people say, you know, I'm not getting good REM sleep, but usually it's because they're not getting good sleep in general. So a lot of times people aren't sleeping particularly well. They're not setting aside enough time to sleep. And so the first thing we want to do if we're going to sleep, have more REM sleep, is we actually have to be sure we get enough sleep. But there are other things, like if you have an alcoholic beverage right before you go to sleep and your body is still metabolizing the alcohol, that is going to impair your REM sleep. I think that means we should have our cocktails with lunch. We have to be Italian about it.
Yeah, the Mediterranean, getting back to the Mediterranean style of life. Have your cocktail during the lunch hour, then go home and take a nice nap. So
right, and by bedtime, you'll be fine for that REM sleep because you'll have fully metabolized. But seriously, you know, not having alcohol right before you go to sleep. And then some medicines can actually interfere with REM sleep. And one of them is the medicine we prescribe a lot of, and that's antidepressants. So that can interfere with REM sleep.
So this gets back to the fundamental question, Dr. Mays, is what is that sweet spot when it comes to the total number of hours that one gets at night, the sleep hours?
Well, most people need somewhere between 7 and 9 hours. It is true that there are some people, we call them short sleepers, who seem to do fine, but most people actually do need the 7 to 9 hours. And not getting that amount is actually associated with all kinds of chronic health problems. So it's not a really great idea to skip the sleep. 7 to 9.
Can you get that the REM benefits with a daily nap?
Yeah, well, napping is interesting. Some people really do great with naps, and naps are not necessarily a bad idea. In some societies where naps are common, people actually live long, healthy lives. But we don't recommend napping to people who are having difficulty sleeping. So people who are wrestling with insomnia, we actually want them to build up what we call sleep hunger. So that by the time they're, you know, getting ready for bed, they really want to go to sleep. They're tired. And if you take a nap, sometimes you blunt that sleep hunger. And so napping is fine if you're a great sleeper and probably something to avoid if you're someone who's struggling to get a good night's sleep.
Had a listener ask a fundamental question, why the body actually needs the sleep. Is it mainly to benefit the brain more than anything else?
It's such a great question. And, you know, for years, we really didn't understand why anyone needed to sleep. You know, you can imagine in our primitive days as a species that, you know, maybe we were safer if we were in a cave at night as opposed to, you know, out. But in recent years, there's two fundamental understandings, which doesn't mean we fully understand. But one is, it is a time when we detoxify. So there's actually a system in the brain called the glymphatic system. In the body, we have the lymphatic, starting with an L. In the brain, we have the glymphatic, so we put a G in front of that L. And it is a time when we actually detoxify. And in the first segment, we talked about Alzheimer's. So we know that if you don't want to get these neurofibrillary tangles and beta amyloid, you need a period where your brain can detoxify. And that's one of the functions of sleep. And the second appears to be this memory consolidation. So it actually is incredibly helpful in terms of learning.
How about sleep apnea? We should probably quickly mention that as well, Dr. Mazes.
Yeah, so sleep apnea can be a pretty common condition in which people briefly stop breathing in the night. Sometimes it's associated with snoring, but not always. And we used to have to bring people to a sleep lab to assess whether or not they had sleep apnea. But now we actually can do those sleep studies really well at home. If you have a sleep partner, they can often tell you, wow, you're a really loud snorer, or, you know, I get nervous because I wait for you to take that next breath. I wait to see if that next breath is coming. Sometimes it has to do with the tongue falling backwards. Sometimes it has to do with excess weight. But this is a really important condition to treat if you have it, because if you are not treating it, your sleep is being constantly interrupted by the need to wake up and catch your breath, essentially, and then fall back to sleep.
How about a particular supplement to enhance falling asleep?
Yeah, so there are different things, but I think before supplements, it's a really good idea to, get ready to go to sleep. I mean, we are not like a computer. When you want your computer to go to sleep, you shut the lid and it turns off. And that's not how human beings work. We actually need some transition time. And sometimes we're doing stuff before we go to bed that's activating. You know, we can be watching something, even the news, you know, that's distressing right before we go to bed. And then it's hard for our minds to quiet down. Or, you know, we could have a difficult conversation. And again, it's hard for our minds to go right to bed. So it's good to do calming activities. That could be reading something, maybe even something boring that's going to put you to sleep. You can take a bath. You know, you could have a conversation. It's there's a variety of things that you can do, but you want to kind of ready yourself for bed. And then there are things like melatonin, valerian. Some people use cannabis products that can be helpful. But I'd say before you ever get to a supplement, it's good to prepare yourself for sleep.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mays, is always a pleasure. We'll look forward to your next visit with us. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Victoria Mays co-hosts the podcast Body of Wonder with Dr. Andrew Weil. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes, that's M-A-I-Z-E-S, or find her at azcim.org. All right, coming up next, it's time to check out some of the top books of the year here in the Southwest, the 46th annual Southwest Books of the Year competition. We'll talk with one of the judges right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This is perfect weather, actually. They love it over at Green Things. The plants are getting some nice watering, and they'll be all ready after this little bit of a weather front move, Sue. They'll be all ready for your weekend gardening, and they have everything you need for your spring gardening. 3384 East River Road by the Rialto River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things AZ in their 53 years now They are open daily, and they have their sister business, Zocalo Village, which has an outstanding, probably the largest collection of Talavera pottery in the state of Arizona. Our live line when we do our telephone interviews is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The winners of the 46th annual Southwest Books of the Year competition were announced recently. Southwest Books of the Year is published online by Pima County Public Library in partnership with the Friends of the Pima County Public Library. The top picks were selected by eight panelists, including my guest, writer, journalist, editor, photographer, and publisher Greg McNamee, who is the author of eight books, including Tortillas, Tiswin, and T-Bones, A Food History of the Southwest, and Gila, The Life and Death of an American River. Mr. McNamee is also editor of Zocala, an arts and culture magazine covering Tucson and Southern Arizona. He's the operator of Sonora Word Works, an editorial and publishing service. He's also probably written a million critiques of books over his many years. Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Bill. How are you?
Doing well, thank you for asking. Let's talk about this year's competition overall. What's kind of the big overall picture here? How many books were of note when all was said and done?
Well, I think we looked probably at about 75 books that seemed like they might be possible fits to begin with. And then through the filtering process, we came up with what we call top picks. And there are 13 of those top picks. In order to qualify as a top pick, a book must be selected by more than one judge. And a couple of the outstanding books in that regard, of course, were, I'm sure she's tired of this phrase by now, but our very own Linda Ronstadt.
Yes.
Her memoir, Cum Cookbook, Feels Like Home, was very well liked by many of our judges, including me. Another book that became a top pick was a book by Susan Strait, who is a novelist out of Southern California, a novel called Mecca, which was selected by Judge Mark Athatakis and joined in with me, Gregory McNamee, and Tom Zellner. So that's the process. We go through and we do a little bit of horse trading, figure out who likes what, and figure out who then gets to write up what we like, which is always a competition. So in any, not to get too far behind myself, but there were 13 top picks this year, and then 20 regular picks, which is to say books that were selected just by one judge.
Mm-hmm.
There's some skewing in that because, for example, many of the children's books are selected only by one children's reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, so where can someone see the entire list of the books of note? This is I've got a beautiful hard copy in front of me that 2023 Southwest Books of the Year, and then online folks can see this as well, right?
Yes. If I am not mistaken, the complete brochure as it's presented here in hard copy is not yet available online, but soon will be through the Pima County Public Library site, which is just www.library.pima.gov.
Let's begin with the Ronstadt book, and there was a huge line at the Tucson Festival of Books recently, folks waiting to hear Linda, and she had a co-author there, Lawrence Downs.
Yes.
Was it?
Uh-huh.
For what do you think of this book, Feels Like Home?
Oh, I think it was a wonderfully lightly written book about some pretty heavy topics that Linda raised in the course of the conversation. Of course, she's effectively binational. Her family goes to Banamichi, Sonora, Finds its roots there, and beyond that in Germany and other parts of Mexico. And so so she talks quite a bit in fairly light terms about the about her desire for a place that one can easily cross the border to go to a place like Banamichi, or where someone from Banamichi can come and visit us here in Tucson. So I thought it was lovely. I haven't tried out all the recipes yet, but I intend to one of these days.
The book had its genesis as originally they were thinking it would be a cookbook,
mm-hmm.
and then decided to expand the project.
Yes, I believe that's right. Linda's renowned for her cooking, for one thing, and of course, cooking while singing and enjoying all these family things. And so it really started off as kind of, as I understand it, as a kind of a family collection that then grew and grew and grew. Her 2013 memoir was a lovely piece of work that really reflected her voice. And this continues it, continues that story, but with the benefit, with the lagniappe of good recipes.
All right, let's talk about, you mentioned a book by an author, Susan Strait. This was a novel titled Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that one.
Well, that's a book that has to do with just the difficult lives that people who live. Mecca is a real place on the Salton Sea.
I did not know that. There's a Mecca, California?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Our very own Herman Ehrenberg, for whom Ehrenberg, Arizona was named, was murdered in Mecca, California.
Really? Okay.
150 years ago.
Okay.
In all events, Mecca is, I think it's safe to say that it's ironically titled. You know, it's a meaningful word to practitioners of Islam, but for practitioners of desert rattery out here, to go out to a place like Mecca and look at that kind of, it's not as generous as the Sonoran Desert here in southern Arizona. So it's kind of a bleak place where people live bleak lives. And that's, Susan Strait, I would say she's very much richer writer than Raymond Carver, but in that sense, she continues that kind of depiction of real working people and the difficulties they face in real lives.
We're speaking with Gregory McNamee. He is one of the eight panelists who looked at the 2023 Southwest Books of the Year competition. Let's stay in the area of fiction, Gregory. And what about a very well-known writer, Lydia Millett?
Yeah, Lydia Millett is a wonderful writer. We're very lucky to have her here in Tucson. She recused herself, of course, but she is also one of our judges,
mm-hmm.
and committee members here. So Mark Athatakis, who is one of our judges who lives in Chandler, was the main selector of that book, and I, Gregory McNamee, backed him up on his choice. Lydia has been writing, I believe this is her ninth book, it's her 12th book, but she's been writing for three decades, and she writes a kind of a funny, subversive, defying expectations kind of thing that kind of takes some of our cultural mores and bursts little bubbles that arise on them, like our fixation with what do they call that? Open plan architecture,
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. open floor plans, and things like that. She makes fun of us while at the same time fully recognizing that she too is one of us.
All right, we'll pause right here. More with Gregory McNamee, and we'll be talking about Southwest Books of the Year. Take a break right here. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zilcalo Village Studios. Now that the little bit of rain be moving through the area, it'd be a great weekend to go over and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our great sponsors. Time to jump in the truck, the car, or perhaps even the motorcycle, and take a little road trip. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. SouthwestNewMexico.org, the starting place for your trip to Silver City and Grant County. There on the website, you will find all sorts of information about great ideas for how to recreate in Silver City and some great places to stay and to dine as well. We're talking about the 34th annual, 46th, how time flies, 46th annual Southwest Books of the Year competition. And Gregory McNamee is with us in studio. Gregory, what would you say that, you know, I said 34th, meaning it seems like I've been in town 35 years here on the TV and radio, and I think I've done every year this competition, going back to some of the greats when Chuck Bowden, what some of his great books were always, seems like, perennial favorites on the list. Let's talk a bit more about the fiction category and then transition to a couple of nonfiction books that I know that you liked.
One of the top picks, and as I say, the top picks are selected by more than one judge of the eight judges on our panel, is Marlowe's Revenge by Dan Stewart. And it's what we would call a picaresque novel, which is to say It's got a little bit of goofiness to it with a serious purpose. Dan is a well-known Tucson presence as the founder of a famed band here in town called the Surfers, which moved to California, became Green on Red, one of the pioneering bands of alt country, and the what they call the Paisley Underground. Dan hates both of those designations, but whatever the case, he writes of the life of a recovering rock star, shall we say, who winds up, despite his best intentions, getting himself in trouble wherever he goes, even though he is trying to be on the mend. One of the ways in which he gets in trouble in Marlowe's Revenge is by going out and playing golf and hitting a ball and teeing it up right next to a corpse. And and things proceed from there.
Bad real estate, right?
Yeah.
All right. Another book in the fiction category that I quickly wanted to mention, Gregory, is
Sinking Bell, which is a collection of debut collection of short stories by a young man who's on the faculty of the university, the writing faculty and the American Indian Studies program, a man named Bojan Lewis, who's a Navajo writer, Diné. Most of his stories in this collection are young, mostly Navajo men, getting themselves in various kinds of trouble up in the Flagstaff area. So, and we take a rather broad view of the Southwest, and of course it would naturally include Flagstaff, but we also extend it outward to Southern California and as far east into Texas as it takes us to get where we get some humidity. And at that point, that's when we start arguing. How much humidity can you have and still be Southwestern? So
the book has to have kind of a geographical connection to the Southwest.
Yes, yeah. And as I say, we have the judges have for many, many years, as long as I've been involved, we get into some pretty interesting arguments about what constitutes the Southwest.
How about in the nonfiction area? Let's talk about a couple of books that you liked very much. We'll begin with a book titled Bad Mexicans, Race, Empire, and Revolution in the Borderlands.
Yeah, that's a book that uncovers an aspect of Borderlands history that is not particularly well known, and that is that during the Porfiriato, which is the period when Porfirio Diaz was the dictator of Mexico, very long time, various political groups rose up against him. One of them was a group founded by two brothers called Flores Magón, who were anarchists. In the strict European sense of the term. And they were driven out of Mexico, organized on this side of the border, spent some time here in Tucson, spent some time elsewhere along the border, but mostly over in Southern California and again in Texas. Got themselves in pretty good trouble with the United States government, as well as the Mexican government, and Ricardo, the older brother, wound up spending his days in Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary, but still inspiring revolution in Mexico that continues today. So there is even a little town in Sonora called Flores Magón, named after these two anarchist brothers. So don't think we have any towns in America named after anarchists.
No, but I don't think so. Maybe there is, but I don't think so.
Yeah, but this is a history of these wonderfully unknown activists and their role in fomenting a different kind of a binational revolution, let's say.
That was a book that one of your picks, and another one is called The Colony, Faith and, what is that, Faith and
Blood,
Blood in a Promised Land. Sally Denton is the author.
Yeah, Sally Denton is a journalist who divides her time between Salt Lake and, I believe, Santa Fe, and also Southern California. This is a book that was, its topic was very much in the news just a few years ago, and that is on November 4th, 2019. You may remember there was a convoy of Mormon
I remember
women
that
and children
that incident, sure,
in
Mexico.
Chihuahua, so who were attacked, nine of them died, including children. Sally Denton, who I believe is Mormon herself, digs into sort of the history of that exiled Mormon polygamous community uncovers some fairly unsavory sorts, including one who has been called the Mormon Manson. When the shots were fired, Chinese was being spoken by some of the shooters. The strange sex cult called NXIVM, you may remember them. They were out of Southern California, implicated with all kinds of, you know, business people over there. Anyway, they were involved. It turns into a story that has incredible depth, and Sally Denton gets deep into it. It's as good as any murder mystery. Which is not to make light of any of the fate of those people, but the story is so complex and still at the end basically undecided that it makes it's just a fantastic read.
Is there a considerable kind of colony or population of these folks in northern Mexico?
Oh, yes, many, many hundreds. Some of those communities are... if you walked into them, you'd think you were in central Utah right now. And if you walked into others, you would see that there was much more ethnic diversity, but still very much a Mormon thing. So, and of course, these people were attacked as they were traveling between two Mormon settlements that had some bad blood between them over the years. And they were trying to sort of mend fences when all this came down. So...
Gregory McNamee is with us in a studio talking about the 46th annual Southwest Books of the Year. We spoke with you last about your book, Tortillas. Uh-huh. I can't believe that book's been out now for about 4 or 5 years. For folks that don't know, that's a pretty good read and a fun read. We were talking about Silver City in New Mexico. That area's got a lot of food history, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does, yeah. In the sense that I write about in the book, which is a confluence of many different cultural traditions. You know, we've got Anglo, we've got African-American, we've got Native American, we've got Hispanic, all blending together to make some pretty wonderful stuff. No offense to our friends in Silver City, of course, but we have better food here in Tucson.
There you go. I would agree with that. But getting back, I did mention that Gila, the book about the Gila River, and I mentioned the Gila Wilderness, I believe America's first national wilderness, is a great place to do a lot of hiking. So when I talk about Silver City, that's kind of an area you're very familiar with.
It is indeed, yeah, and it's a place I'm very, very fond of. Beautiful area and forbidding in many ways, but astonishing to go back and to visit in there and to think what happened before there was electricity and flowing water and things like that, how people made a living in that rough country. It's really quite inspiring.
All right, before we go, Gregory, where can people find out perhaps more about you and your work, and then, of course, about the complete list of the top picks?
Well, I'm at www.gregorymcnamee.com, and the books of mine that are in print are listed there, as well as some articles that you can download and read or just read online. As for the picks for the Southwest Books of the Year, we would like to encourage you, we as the judges and panelists of the committee that selects these books, please pop by any branch of the Pima County Public Library and pick up a copy of this brochure and take the time while you're there at the public library to visit, borrow some books, give the librarians your love, and take some time for yourself and enjoy the place.
All right. Thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right. That will do it for today's edition of the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Gregory, with me here in studio, Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, hope you have a great afternoon.